I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, okay, for the listener, if you go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/spit or swallow, you'll hear all about Sally's disastrous trip with the suitcase and her luggage and everything like that. But Sally said
that's not going to get them joining, is it?
No, but you said I could talk about me for a bit.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, go for it. Go on, yeah. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Okay. Anyway, back
to that's great.
Story.
Yeah.
We've just been chatting to lovely Johnny Candon, haven't we? And he's slightly annoyed because I'm in Dublin and hadn't told him. But to be honest with you, I haven't really had time to.
Well, no, Sally, because you're being a high flyer, and you shouldn't really go outside wearing the same pants that you've been wearing for 3 days, could you?
No,
because probably a health and safety risk, isn't
it? But I am the victim of a lost case.
Yes, you are a victim. So, oh God! Even our producer just sort of. Put her head down in. Oh, we're still going to be talking about this next.
I don't think she did, Sally. She did. She's praying for me now. I can see.
No, she's praying for you to end. That's what it is. She's praying for the end of this. And for the listener,
I hope you lose your case, Louise Conran. I hope you do.
I'm going to be wearing all of my clothes. I'm going to have my GHDs up my fanny. I'm going to wear 4 pairs of shoes, and I'm going to wear all my knickers on my head in a headband, and then I won't have to worry about anything. I'm going to put enough makeup on like a drag queen so that I don't have to take it off.
Put Johnny Candon episode on.
Johnny Candon.
Don't want to listen to you.
Come on then, Sally.
Do you know, I was just freeing up photos and videos on my phone because I've been told it's too full. Here I am. I'm here.
Get a bigger phone.
No, Johnny, be more professional. Be ready to go.
Just
Sally,
fucking...
come on. Sorry. I'll introduce him, Sally. Dear listener, we are sitting here about to have a beverage with the wonderful and almighty Johnny Candon.
Hooray!
Yay.
Hello.
And Sally was so interested in speaking to you, she was clearing photos and data off her mobile phone. That's how bothered she was about your presence.
Thanks, mate.
I've got a lot of storage, but it's just told me that I can't open WhatsApp until I clear away some videos and photos. So I've got felt important.
Is this normally how you start these? Is it just you go, I've got, it won't let me download this app. Fuck my life.
No, Johnny. Yeah. I just think Sally just doesn't care anymore. She's given
shit.
I'm just going to tell you this, Johnny, and I won't harp on about it. Sally is currently wearing knickers that she's been wearing for 3 days. I think that's all you need to know.
It's to do with this special occasion. It's to do with the Elling. I'm in your city, Johnny. I'm in Dublin.
Are you?
Yeah. But Elling. Yeah, I know, and I didn't even tell you. I thought I'd surprise him.
That's so fucking hurtful. I'm sitting here with nothing to do.
Here I am.
So bored. I would have even gone for a beer with you, but that's fine.
No, no, I wouldn't, Johnny, because the way she's already been so rude to you, I think you could tell her to go fuck herself. That's what you can do.
Fucking right, I will.
I've not got a case, Aer Lingus. I've lost my case, so I'm sitting in 3 day old knickers.
What are you doing here?
She came
Sarah.
To see you.
Okay. Yeah, I came to be slightly near you, but not see you. Oh, fine. fine.
Johnny, will you tell the listener what drink you made me drive around Staffordshire trying to find but couldn't find? Thank you.
Oh, could you not get it?
No.
Well, I can only apologise because the thing is, right, I don't really give a fucking shit about this drink. It was all pressure. It means nothing to me. Basically, I could have just gone, you know, Foster's, and you'd have been fine. But Sally asked me the other day, and I went, "Oh, it's this," because I thought I'll try and be fancy, and it's not even a fancy wine though. It's called Faustino 5, right? And it's a Rioja, and it's fine. It's grand. It's like, but the thing is, a few years ago, a bunch of people who I sort of, all my in-laws and everything, they all sort of went, Faustino 5 is on sale in Tesco. Now, I didn't, that's just words to me, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, what's that mean? Well, it's normally €17, but you can get it for a tenner now. Everybody went mental, not just my in-laws, like every sort of, it's kind of a real middle-classy thing. You couldn't go to Tesco and get it. If you walked into Tesco, just an empty block on the shelf, people went nuts. It's nice. Do you know the way wine generally is nice once you said, I think red wine, I love red wine, but the thing is, if I drink a red wine I've not drunk before, I just go, oh, that tastes like shit. And then by the second glass, I'm going, oh, this is lovely. Yeah,
that's
more
how
of this,
I feel
please.
About Guinness, Johnny.
Yeah, but that's all alcoholic drinks, I think. I love drinking, but the thing is, if somebody gives me something I've not had before, like it took me a fucking long time to get onto Baileys. It was only about 2 years ago that somebody went, oh, have some Baileys. And I just thought it looked like warm sick. And then they put it over ice. And I just went, oh, that is lovely. And I just thought maybe if you puked onto ice and drank that, it would be just as nice. But
perhaps we'll have that planned for later, Johnny.
That could be the end of this thing. But yeah, so Faustino 5 is what I picked. But I did it in a moment of... I was on the bus.
Pressure. Yeah. Johnny, what's your drink? Was basically how you read that.
That's how I read all of your texts, though.
Johnny had been to a little cafe at Bristol Temple Meads once, and he put it on Twitter that he'd had a lovely warm, I think you'd had a warm sort of tea cake or something with butter, like hot butter. And I went, what the fuck are you doing at Bristol Temple Meads without fucking telling me? Fuck you and fuck this. And then Johnny went, described me as the face of an English rose with the mouth of a stubbed toe.
That is perfect.
I laughed so much.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, you're right. Sweary Mary Poppins.
That as well. Many things. That sweary Mary Poppins. But I thought, so I'm glad you read all of my messages shouting.
Well, I won't now. Now that I know you're in Dublin.
Well, she's done that deliberately because you were at Bristol Temple Meads and you didn't tell us. So she's done exactly the same. She's like that. She's petty. She's petty.
Sarah wasn't even going to do Dublin, was she? And you made her so you could stay on.
Petty Ann Hayward, that's what we call her now. All right, so I didn't really realise it was a Rioja, otherwise I wouldn't have bought this, but I read it that it was a Californian wine, right? Yeah. So I went and bought, where I live, that I've got every single supermarket apart from the nice ones.
All right.
So I've gone for a Californian Pinot Noir.
Oh, lovely.
So I've got it completely wrong, but at least I've got some wine.
Yeah. Are you going to drink that now, though?
Yeah.
Are you? Right, oh, my God, Lou. See, when Sally asked me about this, cheers, by the way.
Cheers.
I'm going to cheers you with my lemon sip.
Let's just have a little. Oh, poor Johnny.
Look, I'm being incredibly brave.
Yeah,
don't worry about
man
it.
Up but for fuck's sake.
You fuck off. You fucking stinky old hotel room fucking pit. Your dirty old crusty knickers on.
How petty Ann Hayward.
Yeah. So right. Well, the thing is, Lou, when Sally Ann told me about this, she said it's going to be. Oh, are you free at like midday on a Tuesday? And I thought the idea was that we all just drank. And I was like, well, you know, okay. And then I said, I might not drink then. And she went, oh, Lou will. So
Well, she's absolutely right.
So thanks, mate. Thanks for doing it in the spirit of things and not just sitting there in your own filth.
Faustina, whatever it's called, number 5. I wonder what the 4, 3, 2, and 1 were.
Well, I looked this up because I thought maybe I should know, and it's not remotely interesting. It's just that one is fancy. So if you were if you went outside now and found a Tesco, you'd find loads of Faustino because it's all over Dublin, but it's where you are. Fuck you. And the one is posh. Then I think it goes straight to 5, which is for like us, just sort of scum with pretensions, that kind of thing.
Is it a bit like Buckfast?
I don't know. I've never had Buckfast, but I think once you sort of get down to Faustino 7, you're talking proper Buckfast. Like you can sort of have a swig of it, but then do the dishes with it as well. What's that one you're drinking like?
Oh, I haven't tried it yet. I just saw my fingers in the Zoom and my hand looks like King Edward. Not King Edward, what's his name? King Charles. Look how fat my fingers are. I'm swollen today.
Mm. Mine look fat actually on Zoom.
Oh, bloody hell, yeah.
Lou at the moment is taking a sip of this. It's not even the wrong wine.
It's completely the wrong wine, but you know me, Sally.
At least she's doing it.
This is a very light Pinot Grigio, but it's from California. That was the only...
It's not a Pinot Grigio, isn't it?
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
And it's Mark West Pinot Noir. It was £11.
Oh, nice.
Terrible episode. I haven't got the wine. Johnny isn't drinking and doesn't like the wine.
You're in the house next door to him.
And you've got the wrong wine.
We could have actually met up and done this with Lou on Zoom. And you're sitting there going, oh, can't get my knickers off. They're welded on with just sweat. But it's like, is it good?
Oh, that's delicious.
Is it?
It's okay. Really nice. It's got some thick legs on it for a thin wine. Ooh. I'm having my hair cut later. I need to have my hair shaved off.
Once you've had this, you could do it yourself.
It's weird when they offer you a glass of wine in a hairdresser. Do you know that? Sometimes they go, would you like it? Do you want a tea or coffee? Glass of wine? You think,
that's how I ended up with half my head shaved off. Yeah.
I've had that. When I had long hair, when I was a youth, when I was like 22, my girlfriend at the time said, my hair goes mental. It's like, it goes really curly and chung chung. And she went,
chung chung.
Why don't you go down this place near New Oxford Street? So why don't you go down there and spend some money on it? And like, you know, because I was just going to the barbers and they were just trimming it and stuff. And it looked fucking stupid anyway. But I went in, and when I was in there, they gave me a beer. And I thought, I'm only ever getting my hair cut in ladies' places from now on, because it's, you know, just come out half pissed at 1 in the afternoon. But I still look like a fucking idiot though. But
didn't care because you'd had a wine.
Didn't care because I was a bit pissed. Yeah. What you think? You went, I look lovely. Yeah. And just walked out.
Well, when I went to the hairdressers, that was called Damage, should have seen the signs. They shaved half my hair off on one side. And then I gave them a tip, walked outside and proceeded to burst into tears, and then had 4 haircuts that week trying to sort it out. And then the next day I had to go to work with a comb over and put my head on the side to try and even it out. I look like my great granddad Percy when he had a comb over.
Do you know who I imagine you as when you say that? It's, remember the baldy man that used to advertise cigars on the telly, and it was that Scottish comedian. I can't remember.
Rabsy Nesbitt. Yes, it's exactly what it was like. Yeah, and people were coming to my desk going, "Oh, we just come to have a look. Sorry."
Fuck off! Yeah, oh, that's so mean.
Yeah. I know.
Where did you work? The Samaritans.
Cheered everybody up.
Yeah, your head looks mental. Answer the phone.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Yes. No, yes. Go on, Sally. Go on.
You must have. I mean, I've been drunk with you, Johnny. So tell us some of your classic, or one of your classic drunk stories, if you can remember any.
Well, the one, I moved to England because I got drunk, which is when I was about 19. And I had I was thinking about this earlier because I knew you were going to ask me about this. And do you remember in Viz years ago, there was a character, I can't remember what his name, I think he's called Brown Bottle, and he was a superhero. Yeah. And what he used to do is he was like a mild-mannered bank manager or something, and he'd be walking along and he'd see a robbery and he'd go, well, this is a job for Brown Bottle. So he'd run down an alleyway and he'd drink like 12 cans, drink loads of beer, and his superhero was just a drunk man. And he'd stumble around the street, but in doing so, would stop the robbery somehow, and everybody at the end would go, hooray for Brown Bottle, and he'd just be getting sick over a hedge or something like that, right? That was kind of my life from about 19 to 29, in the sense that everything that happened to me seems to be because I got drunk. Like, I got drunk in Dublin with these English girls, and they said, why don't you come to London for New Year and we'll hang out? And I said, yes, that sounds fun. So a few months later, I flew to London with my friend. And then this was the thing that sort of made me move to England. And we went out on New Year's Eve with these girls, who we were all just friends with. And we went to a pub, the Old King's Head in Upper Street. And there's gigs there and stuff. And got shit-faced because I didn't really realise what drinks in England were. I knew in Ireland we had Guinness, we had lager. That was it. And then when we came here, they were like, we were doing a pub crawl down Upper Street in Islington. And we got to the Old King's Head. We were all quite drunk. And somebody handed me a Diamond White. And I never had Diamond White before. I didn't realise that it was cider.
Yeah,
basically. And I had a gin and tonic in the other hand. But because it was New Year's Eve, all the orders were getting mixed up. And the girl I ended up going out with, she turned around and she went, oh, he's given us an extra Diamond White. Quick, hide it. Right? So I went, ooh. So hiding it meant pouring it into my gin and tonic and just putting the bottle on the ground. And I thought, I've poured this mixer into my gin and tonic. That's fine. And I drank gin and tonic mixed with Diamond White and then walked across the tables in the pub to get on stage with this band called the Sugar Plum Fairies. And they got dragged off stage by the bouncers and was going to get killed, but they were throwing me out. But then this girl he was just my mate. I went, oh, no, I'll take him outside. And we went outside and then we snogged in the graveyard. And then it was sort of, I moved to England to be with her. So that was kind of that's my most life-changing drunken thing is New Year's Eve 1992. So, yeah.
Do you remember whose grave you were snogging on?
Probably take you to it because I've walked through there a few times and I've kind of gone, yeah, because I lived in Islington and I was kind of like, it was a shortcut through to the Camden Head where there was Morgings. And I've walked through there loads of times. I think I told Susan Murray, to be honest with you, I think I've walked through there with her and gone, I've got offered someone on that gravestone. And she was like, proper, or whatever the way she speaks. But it was like, yeah.
I suspect Susan Murray's got offered somebody on that grave.
Susan Murray is
probably not a graveyard in the UK that seems to be in.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny, where else have you got off with people then? I mean, when you've been drunk. So we've got graveyard. Have you ever got off with anybody down the park? Because that seems quite popular when you're drunk.
Probably on a boat that wasn't our boat was ooh, one thing. Yeah, we got caught as well. There was a girl I worked with at the time, and we went drinking down in St. Catherine's Dock, you know, down in sort of East London. And we were walking out, and we were just sort of, I don't know, we weren't even with each other. We were just sort of drunk, I think. And we just started snogging. And she goes, let's go on this boat. So we went onto this boat. We were kind of just, you know, on the boat. And then suddenly we heard footsteps. There was loads of boats, you know, it's all
quite fancy as well, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. And thankfully, the man who caught us was quite fancy, so he didn't want to kick my head in. He probably did, but he just went, what are you doing? And I always said something stupid like, oh, we're looking for Simon. This is not his boat. You know, that kind of thing. And
Simon.
And he was like, oh, and we just ran away. So,
And then you joined the Navy.
And that's how I ended up in old Shanghai. Yeah.
Done that, got into parties. And like, I remember going to one New Year's Eve party in Crouch End. I was with a couple of friends and we just saw a party and went, oh, Michael invited us as you walk in, you know. And then they had optics on the wall and my friend was just like putting a glass to the optics. Yes, we Michael. And then people just ignored us. They just let us drink and then we got bored. Oh, I don't know anybody, this is really boring.
Leave again. But you see, you look quite respectable. Imagine finding this on your boat, you know, so it's like you would fit right in at a Crouch End party. I would probably, I'm just, you, oh yeah, Michael invited us to burgle you.
Yeah, there was a lift in the house. What? I remember that. I was so drunk. I do remember there being a lift in the house.
I bet you were going up and down it, weren't you?
Like I used to.
You were.
I'd never stop. If I lived in that house, I'd just be in that lift all fucking day. It's like, are you going to come and have dinner in a bit? You know what I mean? I'd just be...
You don't look like the sort of man that would have a friend called Simon that owned a boat. I'd have gone Farquhar or Terence or something like that. But Simon...
Yeah, Simon's a good one. It's a general name.
I guess so.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I say Farquhar... See, the problem was, if I'd said I'm looking for Farquhar's boat, he'd have gone, well, that's next door.
Yeah.
And then he didn't walk me there, whereas, like, there's probably 90 Simons that have boats down there, so...
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Johnny, what was your training drink when you were growing up? And how old were you when you first had your first boozy?
Oh, well, there's two answers to this, right? Because I was raised Catholic, so my first booze was when I was 7.
Great. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, which was just some vodka. No, that was communion wine. I loved it as well. I didn't, because when I was little, my mum and dad, we'd go to these dinner parties around at my auntie and uncle. They'd all be drinking wine, and I'd sniff the wine, and it smelled horrible, you know, that way. And yeah. It was just, how do you drink that? And then I remember being at Mass and being allowed to have my first blood of Christ type thing. So I took a swig from I think it was Christmas time, so around about this time of year, and had some wine, went back to the seat with my mum and dad, and just feeling fucking awesome. I just thought, oh, it's so nice. Felt all fuzzy and warm and happy, and that I could fight any cunt in that church. And it was just, you know, and
get off me, priest. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you want sex? I want sex. Let's see who gets it. You know what I mean? And, that was my first sort of thing of it. And then I guess I was quite late in, probably about 16 or 17, I think, was the first time I went to I didn't really go in for drinking in parks and things when I was a teenager. I didn't like the idea of it. I sort of thought, just sort of sitting around in a little group, just all wankered on sort of cider. Probably a bit of a nerd. Bit cold, yeah, and stuff. And you'd see all these people, like at school, you'd see people coming in on a Monday going, oh, that was brilliant on Friday, wasn't it? They just all had hypothermia and stuff, that kind of thing. And I'd stayed in and watched Friday Night Live or something with Ben Elton or something like that, you know, little knob. But when I was about six, I remember when I was about 16 or 17 being out with my cousins, and they were a couple of years older than me, and I think we were in town or something, and they all went, it wasn't anything like, oh, we're all going to get wrecked. I think we were waiting on a bus. Something stupid like that. Yeah. And it wasn't coming for a bit. So they went, oh, should we have a pint then? And so we went in and I had a beer. And I was giddy as a fucking goat. I was like, you know, when you have, like now, when you have a beer, and if somebody said to you 5 hours later, have you had a drink today? You'd go, no, because you'd have forgotten, right? Whereas for the rest of the day, I was just like off my nut from one pint of Harp Lager. That's what I drank.
Oh, so.
Have you had it?
Oh, it's horrible.
It's nasty.
Memories. Oh, yeah. Is it still made? I wonder
if
Is it?
Yeah, you can still get it. And it's just, gosh. I've not had it since then, probably, but it's, yeah, that was.
I was thinking, like, when you said that the body of Christ, the blood of Christ and whatever, no wonder people get consumed by religion. If they're fed a little tiny glass of red wine as a child, and you, like you said, you felt brilliant.
Yeah.
And these people are thinking, oh my God, this is actually the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
So therefore I'm going to go back to church because it makes me feel fantastic. Oh my goodness. You see, this is, well, alcohol is the root of all evil.
No wonder the Irish are so, like, you know, caught up with the book, were thought of as alcoholics.
Mm.
I know. And the thing is as well, like, if you go to, say you go to church at like midday, and because this was when I was a kid, this was the thing that everybody would do. You go to church at midday and it was all a big community thing. Everybody knew each other and everything. So they'd all come out and you'd be coming out and there was somebody outside selling newspapers with some like breadboard set up with like the papers. And all the dads would buy the papers and they'd fuck off that way because that's where the pub was.
Yeah.
And all the mums and the kids would go that way because the mum was going home to get the roast on. And the dad would arrive home 4 pints in about 2 or 3 hours later. Just that was it. So go to church, have a little bit of wine to get you going, and then go straight to the pub. Sounds lovely, though. You could do that without the church, though, which is what I do.
You could just go to the pub, couldn't you?
You could, yes. Yeah.
And in a way, it is a religion for me and Sally, isn't it,
yes,
really?
It is.
What, drinking?
Yeah.
You know, though, like last night, I went to a pub in Dublin.
Did you?
And it's, what was it last night? Monday night. Was it Monday night last night? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we got there about 11:30 and it was busy.
Mm.
And then by, I think we must have left about 1 because it was heaving, absolutely heaving. There was a band on. They were so drunk. There was mainly men, older men as well. And right in the centre of Dublin. And I thought, I don't know anywhere else that this happens. Not even London, where it was just... I mean, we left and people were still coming in. It was packed.
Yeah.
Monday night. And we were there on Sunday night as well. It was the same. And I thought, wow, that's Ireland, I think, though, isn't it?
Well, a little bit. But I think what's happened as well is people have sort of got into Christmas mode from a bit. But that happens here from about the 12th of October. Do you know what I mean? It's like it people just go, ah, I suppose close enough. Like, I mean, last night, when you say that last night, I'm like, yeah, I can imagine that on a Monday in Dublin in December. Where, do you know where you were? Can you remember the name of the pub?
I can't remember the name. I will find out.
But it could be anywhere, to be honest. Yeah.
Was it expensive, Sally, the drinks?
I can't remember.
You weren't paying, were you?
No, I was. I had cash. Oh, was you? I had the euro and everything.
No, oh my God, you're properly on holiday.
I know.
Oh, it's well foreign, isn't it?
But I just thought, this is like nowhere else. You know, I just couldn't believe it.
Are you going to move there now?
I think so. I always want to live wherever I am. Yeah. I'm always
you've
excited.
Got to wait for your suitcase to arrive, so you'll probably have to live there now.
Do you have to wait for your suitcase to arrive so you can leave again?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I'm going to have it. I'm going to change it, aren't I? I'm going to have it sent to home.
Tell Johnny how you know where it is.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those Apple tags. You know, the little tags, the finder things. Yeah. So they're on the website. When I click to see where my bag is, they're like, "We're still tracing it." I'm like, "Well, I can see it. I know where it is.
She knows exactly where it is on the app.
I can see it's in between the Aspire Lounge, the Cabin Bar, and the Hampton Hotel and the Brunel Bar. I can see it. I can see the case on my app.
In Bristol.
There. Yeah. Still there. Fuck.
Okay, so why didn't you... And come here, you've been in Dublin for what, 3 days?
Yeah.
When are you meant to be going?
Tomorrow, leaving tomorrow.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then I arrive.
You're coming to Dublin.
John is furious at me.
I'm all right, to be honest. It's fine, be like that.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to surprise you on here and tell you where I was. But
She didn't even think about it.
No, it slipped out. I could see the look of fear on your face when you mentioned you were in Dublin. You're like, shit.
Should I tell you why the luggage was delayed? Luggage isn't here because it was. And I'm going to be really quick with this. It was because I was supposed to be on an early flight and that was cancelled. They put me on a later flight. They assured me the luggage would go on the later flight. Didn't, right? Yeah. I was at Bristol Airport for 14 hours on Sunday.
Oh, God.
No, don't encourage it, Johnny. Don't encourage it.
But this is the boring bit, but the interesting bit.
No. Yeah. This isn't the boring bit, but go on.
Johnny.
Turns out the reason they were all delayed is because of the DI. There's not enough de-icers at Dublin Airport. And apparently, there's not a lot of snow in Dublin, so they're not going to buy any more. But Ryanair,
oh my God, she's carrying on. She's carrying on.
Ryanair got two of their own de-icers, and they're not letting Aer Lingus have to queue up and use the airport's one. So they're there for hours. Whereas Ryanair, of course, he is. He's got his own. Ryanair were flying happily.
Johnny, go. Johnny, leave now. Johnny.
I've been in this story for 14 hours. But,
Johnny, tell us more drunk stories. Do you feel like you need to get drunk now? You've heard the sorrowful tale of Sally and her terrible travel tales.
Do you know what, Sally? My heart goes out to you, and I think that's awful. But I'm watching you sitting on a hotel bed, so you know, get fucked.
I've had breakfast in bed as well this morning.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Definitely.
And also because I ordered it when I was drunk last night, so it was really nice because I didn't know it was like a surprise. I went, oh, what's under that?
Well, see, that's the best thing, isn't it? Isn't it? Was it Andrew Maxwell who had some material about talking about how drunk him loves sober him? And, you know, and Robin Ince, I've done this, though. I think everybody's done. You know when you kind of come in from a gig and everybody goes, oh, you can't just go to bed because you're still kind of you know, if it was a brilliant gig, you're all happy and bouncing around the place. If it was shit, you're just really pissed off. So you have a glass of wine, you have a beer or something like that, and then you're just fucking around on the computer. And then a month to six weeks later, suddenly loads of DVDs or something turn up, and you're like, oh, okay, thanks, me.
Mine was more immediate. Mine was my breakfast. I thought, oh, what have I ordered?
Yeah. What did you have? Just normal Irish breakfast?
I had no memory of ordering an omelette. It was delicious, and porridge and fruit. And a tea, breakfast tea, orange juice. Oh, lovely.
Jesus.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. I managed to
get. Is this all on Milliken?
No. This is a hotel breakfast.
Yeah, but I'm saying, do they have to pay for it? Like, do you get this for free?
I'm not telling you who's paying for what. That's going to be cut out.
Yeah, no, but...
it's of no interest.
Well, if it's been cut out, just tell us. But, well, that's lovely. I'm delighted that you had a lovely... are you hungover at all?
No, I'm a little bit. But tell us more drunk stories, because otherwise I'll tell you more. If you don't tell us drunk stories, I'll return
you'll
to my
tell
story
us,
of
you'll
the
tell airport. Us
oh, God,
15,
Johnny, please, for the love of God. Johnny,
and I went to buy a panini, but there's no panini, so I kicked off.
Oh, no, I didn't buy a panini. Anyway.
All of Edinburgh ever is sort of...
Edinburgh Festival, to the listener.
Well, Edinburgh Festival, yeah, not just the city. I don't just have to be drunk to be there. It's more... Do you know, this is the thing I wanted to add. I don't know if I've got face blindness or it's just down
alcoholism.
To booze. Yeah. You know when people say, because in Edinburgh, this has happened an awful lot of times, when you go into somewhere like the Brooks Bar at like 2 a.m, which is the bar, you shouldn't be there, you should just be at home.
Performers bar to the listeners.
To the listeners. And it's a bar at the Edinburgh Festival that you sort of technically need to be a performer to get into, but you can just walk straight in, I think. You know,
yeah.
I have, and will again. You walk in and you'll be sort of stood at the bar and somebody will come up and go, hey, and you go like, and you think, oh, are they just sort of like you theatre and being annoying, or have I met this person before? And you're like, so you know that thing where you go, oh, hello, mate. They go, how are you? And you just, and you can be talking for 5 minutes before you think, do I fucking know this person? Or, because I don't remember, I would say, and genuinely 85% of people I've met at the Edinburgh Festival. And when you see them out of context in London or at a gig or something like that, it comes across as really, really rude. So that's not a nice drunk story. It's more sort of kind of like, I do sort of struggle sometimes to think, do I know you, or have I met you?
I've done that. The Edinburgh before last, I've done that. I was chatting to this woman who's been really, really over familiar. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Yeah. And then eventually she went, you do know who I am, don't you? And I went, no. And she went, I'm your agent.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, God, because I only remember meeting her for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes, and then she took me on, and I was like, well, that's it. That's job done, isn't it? Cut to 18 months later, you don't know who I am.
It's not fair, though, is it? Because they know who you are, because you're on the stage, so, and your name's on your post. They've got loads of clues as to who you are. Whereas you don't know that what they look like. You only see their emails or talk to them on the phone. Yeah. So,
Is this person still your agent?
No.
Did that quite quickly after that conversation? Yeah,
well, do you know what? I sort of left it for a bit. And then when I didn't get any work and things weren't happening, I thought, oh, perhaps it's time to leave. And then subsequently, I've just realised that's possibly why. So there you go.
I don't know. I mean, do you need an agent for stand-up now?
No.
Do you think? No.
I remember going to I remember being in a bar with this girl talking of that face blindness stuff, and she started talking to me, and I thought, well, clearly I know her. So I just carried on talking to her, like, you know, I thought, oh, I don't know where I've met you, but I've been drunk. And then I went, and how are you anyway, like that, because I thought, I don't know what to ask you, don't know anything about you, don't know who you are. And then she went, oh, I'm much better now since the accident. And I thought, oh, God, I'm too far in now. I'm too far in. I don't know what is this? And then she went to the loo, and I grabbed my friend Colin. And I went, what's happened to her? Who is she? Please, hey, quick. So he told me some car accident, and then she came back, and I was like, no. And then I carried on as if I'd known her for years. Oh,
do we know who she ended up being, though?
No, never really found out. Don't know who she was. She'd obviously told me about this accident before. Perhaps I was driving the car.
You're the one.
Yeah. Not since the accident. We shouldn't really be talking outside of court, but to be fair, you know.
Sally following her suitcase tracker, running people over.
Yeah. It's near the Aspire bar. There's just school kids flying up the windscreen. Yeah. Bless her.
It's got my new trousers in it.
Oh, and what have you done? Just sort of going off drinking, well, kind of drinking things. What have you done in your time in Dublin about clothes? Did you have to go and buy new ones, or have you just
I've worn, luckily, because it was so cold the morning I left, I put on two tops and a jumper, a pair of jeans, two pairs of socks, and then I was baking in the airport, of course.
You were there for a while, were you?
Johnny.
Did I not tell you?
Johnny, I'm just going to stick this corkscrew into my eye. Carry on. Thank you very much.
So you'd lots of clothes on and everything worked out fine. Is that the end of the story?
Yes, it is, Johnny.
I bought a shirt to wear on stage and I bought some makeup and I spent a lot of money on makeup. I'll run you through that.
Johnny, sorry, I can't hear Sally anymore. We like to do a quick fire round. Yes, Sally, I'm moving on.
Yes, please.
So, right, this is a really highbrow Q&A quick answer thing.
Good.
Can I just butt in? The housekeeping is knocking on my door.
Well, I'll deal with this, Sally, and you go and deal with housekeeping. Oh, God, it's life on the road, Johnny. Right, are
really
you ready?
It is. Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. White or red wine?
Red.
Lager or Guinness?
Lager.
Prosecco or Cava?
Prosecco.
Whiskey or brandy?
Whiskey.
Cosmopolitan or Long Island iced tea?
I don't know. I've had neither. Cosmopolitan.
Okay. Yeah, go with that. Tequila or Sambuca?
Sambuca.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee mainly.
Port scratchings or crisps?
Crisps.
Screw cap or cork?
Don't care. Cork.
Gin or vodka? Don't care.
Gin.
Yeah. Crisps or nuts?
Nuts.
EastEnders or Coronation Street?
EastEnders.
London or Dublin?
Ooh, London.
Sally or Lou?
Lou.
Yes! Fucking get in! Thank
there
you!
There you go.
No!
Combination.
Why?
It's a combination.
Well,
I said slew, as in a combination of two of you. Mm. I could have said lally, but I didn't. But just
How long have you known Lou?
In about
20 years, isn't it, Johnny?
Must be getting on for.
No, Sally, don't be in denial to yourself.
Jesus, Sally.
Yeah, I've been drinking with Johnny in Dublin. I never go to Dublin without hooking up.
Oh, my God.
As if you would.
Oh, yeah, so. You and me down that temple bar.
Drinking the stuff they have there.
The black drink. Yeah, lovely. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not like Sally Ann Hayward. Bloody.
I just denied the housekeeping to come into this room because I wanted to carry on doing this. And I wish I'd let them come in and shout and distract.
And hoover.
Yeah.
Is that what you think Irish... like room service does. They just come in and start screaming their heads
shout.
Off. Do you think all Irish room service people are the Pogues? They just come in and start wrecking the place.
They're pissed.
Yeah.
Hoovering whilst doing Irish dancing.
Yeah, just shouting.
Brings up the dust.
That's it. They just hoover it from the air.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. You go on, yeah.
We need more drunk stories.
We need another drunk story. We need to make a cocktail for Johnny.
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
we?
Shit. Okay.
Johnny come lately, it's called. Apologies.
I got that. Yeah. It's two parts, jizz. I tried to think of another drunken thing. God. I got in a fight at a works thing once. When I was younger. That's not a fun drunk story. I worked a place in Shoreditch before Shoreditch was Shoreditch, you know, and it was down. You know where for the listeners who don't know where the Comedy Cafe is, it's on a place called Rivington Street, which used to be just a real just horrible old shithole
area, wasn't it?
Yeah, Old Street. And then I got a job. It was in a place that was kind of a telemarketing thing around the corner from the Comedy Cafe. It was just a big orgy, really. It was basically all actors and dancers and all these people who just were looking for something to kind of give them some money that they could do during the day, but they could ring around getting gigs and that kind of thing using the phones and stuff. And So I worked there, and we always used to just go to the pub and get hammered every day. Just used to go to the pub and get hammered. And I remember Noel, I'd started doing stand-up a little bit. I'd been maybe doing it about 6 months or something. And I remember Noel from the Comedy Cafe, who was the owner of the Comedy Cafe. He had a big blue van with a Comedy Cafe written on the side of it and Dennis the Menace laughing his head off. And he was driving past. I was walking to the pub one day, and I just heard this voice in the traffic going, "Johnny!" And I turned around and, "Oh," he goes, "One day you'll have a big car like this." And just drove away. But so that company that I worked for, I won't name them, but they were very nice. They were very patient with people because you could go off and do auditions or disappear. Like there was a guy, there was a guy in our office who was on London's Burning. And when they weren't making London's Burning, which was an old TV show, and they weren't making that, he would just come back and work there. But he thought his shit didn't stink. He thought he was amazing. He just walk around. He would look at you as if to go, "Yeah, it's me off London's Burning." And it's like, "I know, I've known you for 2 years," that kind of thing. But there was one night we went to this pub, the Bricklayer's Arms, just around from the pub, from the Comedy Cafe. And we all got really, really, really drunk. And then we had upstairs booked, I think, or something like that. But then some youths came in and they were being aggressive and trying to start fights. And I got into a fight with one of them. And that was one of those moments where I remember launching myself at him and people pulling us apart. And then it was like somebody just hit pause. And then I just opened my eyes and I was in my bed in Highgate.
Wow.
I don't know how I got there. I had no memory of it. And I just looked at my shirt and it was torn. I went, "Well, how did I tear my fuck?" Because it all came coming back to me. And it was a Saturday as well. So I spent the entire weekend in this absolute state of drink-induced paranoia. I was only about 21, that I was going to go into work then on Monday and they were going to fire the shit out of me.
Oh, no.
And yeah, I was really scared. I just thought, I need this job. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was, and then I went and nobody said a thing. It's fine.
And the man from London's Burning probably picked you up in a fireman's lift.
Yes.
And just carried you out.
Yeah, he said, "Anywhere you need to go, just let me know. I'll take you there today."
Yeah, and, Bieber.
But it was one of those, it was that weekend where I just went, "You know what, I'm never drinking again. That's it. It doesn't suit me. I'm not drinking ever, ever, ever again." And then when I went into work, I was so relieved that I wasn't in trouble. And my mate Matt went, "Are you coming for a pint?" I was like, "Yeah." You know what I mean? So on and so forth.
It's horrible, but that paranoia though, isn't it?
You get it though.
Yeah, but more as I've got older, I think as well, it's when you get really drunk and then you go home, you wake up alone. And I don't mean like I haven't pulled, but if you wake up and you've got your mates, you're sort of staying at your mate's house, then you laugh about the night before and you've got a bit more camaraderie. And so, I don't know, but when you wake up alone, you just go, "Oh no, what did I do?" I went out when I temped at the hospital in Bristol. I remember going out with all the doctors for Christmas party.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. And we were dancing and I got so drunk. But then the next day, I just woke up and thought, "Oh no." It was just the fear of what did I don't even know whether it's what did I say. You just go, well, basically you think, "I made a fool out of myself, didn't I?" And of course I did, but so did everybody, you know.
Yeah, but you know what, you nailed it on the head. If you've had those nights where you wake up on somebody's sofa and then somebody goes, "Oh, should we go and get breakfast?" and you go with a greasy spoon, that's lovely. You'll probably end up back in the pub, you know what I mean? But it's that day of just... of just not knowing, of just, you know, and then even sending off a text is like sending off a fucking, you know, "Hey, did you get home all right?" And then your mate comes back and goes, yeah, that was a good night. And immediately all guilt is gone. And you're just like, "Oh, that was," you know what I mean? But even now when we're really old, why do we still get it? Because we know what we act like and we know that we're not likely to go.
But again, I think it's worse as you get older. It is for me, definitely.
Yeah, but that's because we behave worse because we probably are a little bit more, less inhibited as to the things we say. We don't care that much about what we say. Yeah. I'm talking about myself.
And, I thought you were talking about Sally's views on race.
Oh God, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah,
she's on GB News talking about that. I think you just don't care as much, do you?
Yeah,
don't you? I think.
It maybe is that you've got a bit more confidence in your ability to not be a wanker, maybe, and you think, "Oh, I'll be fine." And then the next day, you wake up and that confidence is completely gone. You're like, "Oh, I am just a wanker." Everybody knows also, that.
You've got the experience, haven't you? You know that you'll be fine as well. You've done this a million times. You felt like shit. You've been an idiot, but you know as well that you can just go, "Oh well, I've lost loads of friends already."
There's another one. I'll just make some new ones. It'll be fine.
It's sort of like the alcoholic version of natural selection, isn't it? So I'll just get drunk and I'll sift through all my friends, and those that don't make the cut weren't worth it anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing as well. You don't even need to sift. You just get drunk, and then whoever's still talking to you the next day is fine. Yeah. And whoever isn't, you just forget they ever existed.
Oh, I think we've solved life. What cocktail should we have for Johnny, Lou?
Well, two parts cheers, as we've already said. Bailey's.
Bailey's. Who's going to do the cheers, though? Are we just going to have people behind, you know, behind this cocktail bar in the back room? Just
you know, they're shaking their shakers. But maybe they're doing
bank,
it.
Maybe.
Maybe they're a sperm bank. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do my own, because that'd be weird.
Well, can I just say,
I'm sorry, madam, you can't have one of those for 3 days.
I'm running Johnny's dry. My gentleman caller told me there was a footballer, maybe a Brazilian footballer, that likes to drink his own jizz. Apparently, yeah. I don't know.
How does that information even get out, though? Is that the sort of thing?
I don't know. His mum said he used to do it as a child and still does. Anyway, he'd be the man to speak to. Yes, we have to go to Brazil to get that.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that. So it's two parts. Cheers. What have we got? We've got a bit of Guinness in it, haven't we? Just for your heritage.
Yeah.
Can I swap the Guinness out for Baileys? Because I think that would mix.
I love that. Can I swap the Guinness out for Baileys, but yeah, can I keep the jizz?
Yeah, you're right. You can swap the Guinness out for Baileys. Cheers, one part Baileys. Yeah?
Yeah.
You want some ice?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. That would be just because, I can't drink Baileys if it's warm.
God, what about jizz? That's okay. Yeah,
well, that comes out warm, so it's like...
No,
there needs to be something in it that can't be... It's feeling very creamy at the moment. I'd like something that
What about the blood of Christ?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you think?
It'd look like a raspberry ripple, though.
But that's nice. Like a tequila sunrise, but a raspberry ripple. Yeah, so you want to keep that kind of ripple effect.
Or blood
in
your jizz. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And blood and poo.
Can we just pop a cherry on it? I was actually thinking to myself, do you know what? This doesn't sound horrible. I mean, it does, but a Brazilian footballer's jizz, a dash of Baileys on ice so it's not rank, and then
blood of Christ.
The blood of Christ. And maybe a cherry, kind of a blood cherry or that kind of thing. That'd be lovely.
Okay. On
that note,
we need to wrap up. We have to decide whether the drink of choice is a spit or a swallow. I have drunk that booze before, that particular wine, so I'm allowed to officially say what I think.
Well,
Lou's on a similar type.
No, I mean, it's not even similar. It's red. That's the similarity. It's bloody delicious. It's a swallow.
Swallow from you. And I'm going to say that Fastino is a spit from me. Why not?
Oi! Have you had it before?
Yeah, I've had it before. And to be honest with you, I keep saying swallow to people's drinks because they're always really nice. So I thought I'd just shake it up a bit.
Just thought you'd reject me twice. Fine.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. No,
Johnny,
good.
I'll see you down the pub tomorrow, yeah?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I'm just delighted you're in Dublin, Lou.
Yeah, great. No problem. Lucky I told you, eh?
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you.
Johnny Candon, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been lovely.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are @LouAndSally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!